Jayom, Vishnu, Vahakara, Namasata, Vedalaka, Sarasa, Vedalaka, Shishimad, Vidavangas, A.C. Bhakti, Vedanta, Sama, Shibhupad, Ijaya, Shrimad, Vahamadei, Ijaya. All those Samogavodis, all those Samogavodis, all those Samogavodis, all those Shishin Guru and Kishin Guranga, all those Shrimadha. Everybody, today for the auspicious appearance day of Srimad Vamanadev, who appeared on the Shravana Dwadasi. Of course, right now it's Dhanishta, but this morning it was Shravana. I will give a summary history of the Vamana Lila as is described in the 8th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Vamana Dev, of course, as Krishna explains in the Gita, that whenever there is a decline in religion and an increase of irreligion, then he appears. So that's often what triggers the appearance of the Lord. That's a special type of lila where it's Dharma has to be re-established. So in this case, Vamana Dev appeared because of somebody. He appeared because of Bali Maharaj. So, Bali was the grandson of Prahlad Maharaj, the son of Virochana. So he comes in a very special dynasty because he's unusual. He comes in a dynasty of Asuras, but at the same time there's very great devotees in that dynasty. His grandfather. His father was a different story. Virochan, he was very respectful, he loved Brahminical culture so much that when the Devas came to him disguised as Brahmanas, even though he knew that they were Devas, he said whatever desire they have, he will fulfill. So they requested, you please give us the rest of your life. Please give us the duration of your life. In other words, please die. So because he was such a stalwart follower of Brahminical culture, he left his body. He gave up his life to satisfy the Brahmins. So we have a dichotomy here. How is it that he is so much interested in Varnashram, yet they're considered to be Asuras, just like Jarasandha? He also was very strict follower of Varnashram. He always gave great charity to the Brahmins. In fact, when Arjuna, Bhima, and Krishna came, when Krishna and Arjuna and Bhima came, they came disguised as Brahmins. Because there's a difference between Varnashram and Daivi Varnashram. Varnashram is following your material duties. Just what they should be done. So even an atheist can do that. But Daivi Varnashram is that you're doing it to please the Lord. This is explained in the Gita, 18th chapter. First Krishna explains Varnashram, then he explains Daivi Varnashram. By performing your prescribed duties to please me, then you can get perfection. So in this situation, we see that actually Bali Maharaj, he's coming from a family of great devotees also, specifically his grandfather. So it's a little bit of a tricky situation here. In any case, there's rivalry. Even amongst devotees, there's rivalry. At the time of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was staying in Jagannath Puri. And he was staying in the kingdom of who? What was the name of the king? Of Orisha? Maharaj Pataparudra. So who was Maharaj Pataparudra at war with? Anybody know who he was at war with? He was at war? He was at war with who? Who was the... He was fighting against somebody. Who? Huh? He was fighting with Krishna Deva Roy of Karnataka. And eventually, I think Patibhuta lost, and he gave his daughter in marriage to Krishna Deva Roy, or the other way around. Well, I can't remember which way. Somebody married somebody's daughter. But they were the same point is they were both the great devotees fighting with each other. So sometimes it happens. And Krishna has to please everybody. He has to please both sides. The both of them are his devotees. So there was a rivalry amongst the asuras. They also generally they tend to be atheistic. They're much more materialistic, and they're antagonistic often to Brahmanic culture, and definitely antagonistic is like the great grandfather, Hiranyakashipu, very antagonistic towards Vishnu. So this makes a problem. So Bali Maharaj was fighting against the Devas, and he was killed. But his guru, Shukracharya, who knew the art of Mrityu Sanjivani, brought him back to life. And because of this, therefore Bali Maharaj was very beholden to Shukracharya, and he became very devoted. And under the guidance of Shukracharya, he performed the Vishvajit Yajna, and he became impervious, he became unconquerable. And leading his army, because he was very much favored by his guru, by the Brahmins, he led his army to victory. And when Yus came to the suburbs of the kingdom of Indra, and when Indra discussed with Brihaspati, the Deva Guru said, because he has achieved the mercy, because he pleased so much the Brahmins, you cannot conquer him. He can only be conquered when he insults the Brahmins. Then only he can be conquered. So for now, according to Kala Deshapatra, it is wise to retreat. So the Devas just left. Without even fighting, they just gave up. They conceded the battle, and Bali Maharaj came, and he also, the Devas left, Swarga, and he came and he took the earrings of Aditi. And he was ruling. Aditi is the mother of the Devas. And he was ruling in Indraloka very nicely, everything. He was in Gaya. He was in charge. In the meantime, Aditi, she's very disturbed to see that her sons have been kicked out of their home. The mother is upset. All her children are living in the street. They're all hiding in different places in disguise. So no mother wants to see. She wants to see all her children successful. She wants to see the children have got their education, right? They have their BA. They got their college degree. They got a nice job. They got a nice house. Nice spouse. That's what mothers want. So Aditi is not any different. She also felt the same way. So she was disturbed that her children had been insulted in this way. And she was just lamenting in her ashram while her husband was away. Her husband was in meditation, Kashyapa Muni. He's also the father, he's the husband of both Diti and Aditi. And so he also is in the middle position. From one wife, he got two branches of his children are fighting with each other. From Diti is Bali, and from Aditi is Indra. So he's also stuck. So he comes back from his meditation and he sees that Aditi is very has a down looking face, dark. She's very upset, brooding, melancholy. She hasn't swept the ashram in hundreds of years. He was in meditation for a long time, so she hadn't swept the ashram for a long time. It was a big mess. So then he inquires, what's wrong? Why the long face? Why the place is a mess? And she reveals on her heart that she's upset that her children have been kicked out of their kingdom, and this Bali is there, he took her earrings, and then, Bali who took her earrings, or that indigent who took her earrings, I can't remember now. Somebody took her earrings, whether it was Bali or not, I can't remember. So anyway, but he did take the kingdom of her children, so she was upset, what to do. So Kashyapa, he meditated on it, and he said, what you should do, in order to your children get their kingdom back, you should perform the Payavrata ceremony. He gave great intricate details of how this ceremony should be performed, and drink of, milk vow, how it should be performed, how she should maintain her purity, which way she should bathe, which way she should sleep, everything, so that she doesn't become impure. And by fulfilling this vow, she'll be able to have a child who will defeat Indra and give back the kingdom to her sons. So then Aditi was very happy about this. She's very happy. So she performed, she strictly performed the vrata, and then after some time she became pregnant, and then Lord Vishnu appeared, and he told that I will take birth as your son, but don't tell anybody. Everything should be kept confidential. Those things which are kept in confidence, they are successful. You don't advertise your plans. So you basically said, don't advertise what you're going to do. If you keep everything confidential, then there will be great success. Don't put it on the internet. So then, on the Shravana Dwadasi, at the Abhijit Mahurta. The Abhijit Mahurta means 24 minutes before and after noon, when the sun is exactly overhead, not 12 o'clock on your watch, but exactly when the sun is overhead. So in Bangalore, that's approximately, sun is overhead approximately at 12:20 every day. So means Indrajit Mahurta, the Abhijit Mahurta is from 11:56 to 12:44, that's the Abhijit Mahurta. So that's when Bhamana Deva appeared. Very beautiful, short, he's not a dwarf, young boy. Very beautiful, very fair complexion, and all the Devas were very happy to see him. They all gave him charity, somebody gave him a belt, somebody gave him a deer skin. You know, Mother Aditi gave him his first dakshin. Because a brahmachari, when he goes for dakshin, he should always go to some relative. The first time he goes, he should go to some relative who will give him something. Not that he should go to somebody who won't give him anything. But the first time you go begging, you should go to somebody who you know will give you something. So in this case, he went to his mother and she gave him something. And all the devas, they all gave him something very nice. Then he appeared, then he went to where Bali Maharaj was performing his sacrifice, which would be in Bhrigu Kacha. He went to Bhrigu Kacha, which is now known as Broj in Gujarat. That's Bhrigu Kacha. The Bhargavas. That was their headquarters. He was doing a very elaborate yajna. And as soon as this young Brahmin appeared, even though, as we were saying on Radhastami, that even though a Brahmin may be young, his seniority is denoted by the knowledge that he had. But because Brahmana Deva was so effulgent, the Brahma Jyoti was coming from him, that he was so effulgent, though he had not spoken a word yet, everybody stood up. They understood, because you stand up. When somebody respectable is in your presence, you always stand up. You have to stand up, because if you don't stand up, your vital air stands up anyway. Manu says, your vital air, and if you don't catch up with your vital air, it will disturb your mind. So you should always stand up when a senior comes into the room. Should stand up, because if you don't, it will, your mind will become unbalanced. So automatically everybody stood up when Vamanadeva appeared, because they could tell immediately that he was a special person. And then, naturally, Bali is a Kshatriya, so kings, they like to give charity. All the Dvijas, they can perform. A Dvija can study the Veda, they can perform sacrifice, and they can give charity. Even a Kshatriya can perform sacrifice for himself. A Vaishya can perform sacrifice for himself. Only a Brahmin can perform sacrifice for others. Also for himself. Everybody, all Dvijas, Vaishyas, Kshatriyas, Brahmins, they all can study the Veda, but only a Brahmin can teach the Veda. And all three can give charity, but only a Brahmin can accept charity. So Bali wanted to give charity. Bali wanted to give charity to Vamanadeva. So he said, no, I'll give you villages, I'll give you wives, I'll give you so many, enumerated, I'll give you the whole universe. I'll give you whatever you want. And Vamanadeva, you know, he said, one should simply be satisfied with what everyone gets. He spoke very high philosophy. I'll just take 3 steps of land. Just 3 steps according to my measure. That was the catchphrase, according to my measure. And Bali was saying, you know, indirectly insulted Bala. Bali said, well, you're not very intelligent. You know, I can give you so much. You're like somebody goes to a king and only asks for ashes when I can give you jewels. You know, in so many ways he was saying that it's not the I can give you many things, you should ask for more. And Vamanadeva again spoke philosophically, you know, in this way, saying that actually a Brahmin should be self-satisfied. And he's Atmarama. He's practicing to become self-satisfied. So whatever he gets that comes of his own accord, he's satisfied. He's, Prabhupada gave one example one time about how a Brahmin, he doesn't want to be dependent on anybody, how this soul is in Navadvip, Nadia, somewhere in Bengal. For one Brahmin, he lived under a tamarind tree in a little school, teaching people, and his wife would take the leaves of the tamarind tree and cook them, a little rice, and that was it. Satisfied. So the king came and wanted to give him something. He said, what do I? No, I'm satisfied. I eat the leaves from this tree. Right? So why do I don't need anything more. So the king was very satisfied. But he's not greedy. He doesn't accept things more than necessary. Because it then becomes entanglement. One of the 6 causes of fall down is to acquire things, unnecessary things. Acquiring unnecessary things and storing them, because then so many thieves will come. It creates a anxiety in the mind, and the one becomes focused on other things. Like there was one history of one Babaji. All he had in his possession was 2 copians, right? So when he was wearing 1 copan, he would wash the other copan and then he would put it to dry. But then, while they were drying and using his bhajan, some rat would come and start chewing on his copans. So he became very disturbed, and now his copans have got holes in them. Well, what should I do? He went to a Brahmin. He asked him, oh, Dvija Shrestha, please give me some advice. What should I do? The rats are eating my copans. I'm having, you know, disturbing my bhajan. So the Brahmin said, to control the rat, you should get a cat. Get one cat, the cat will catch the rat, then copan problem solved. You can continue with bhajan. So, the Brahmin said, oh, very good. So he went and got a cat. But after the cat ate the cat was meowing. You know, the Brahmin is still hungry, you know, like no more, another rat. But if the cat went away, another rat would definitely come. Now the Babaji has to get milk for the cat. He has to go beg some milk. He has to beg for food for him, he has to beg food for his cat. So now he has a cat problem. Provide milk for his cat. So then the Babaji went to the Rama and said, oh, Yudhishthira, what should I do? I'm having this cat problem. What should I do? I have to provide milk every day. And he said, get a cow. The cow will provide milk every day for your cat. The cat will scare away the rats and your company will be safe. Like this. So the Babaji got a cow. But then the cow needs to be milked in the morning, needs to be milked in the evening, in between it needs grass, needs water, so many things, so much time is taking to take care of this cat. The cow. So you can take care of the cow, so you can feed the cat, so but scare away the rats so those copens won't get eaten. So it's taking so much time out of his life, you know. So he said to the Brahmin, oh Brahmin, this cow is taking up so much time. I'm going to have to kill the cow. What should I do? He says, let me think. You should get married. Get a wife. The wife can take care of the cow. That way you can have a peaceful life. While the wife takes care of the cow, milking in the morning, milking in the evening, in between gets grass, and then, you know, gets milk, gives milk to the cat. The cat will scare away the rat, and your copings will be safe. Like this. So he gets married. And the wife says, I want a house. I want sarks. I want dangles. I want babies. I want this. I want that. So then Babaji went and took his copings, tore them in half, threw them away, and walked away. Solved his problem. No copings. Just for his little copings, he's creating such a huge complication in his life. Just like having a little bit too much. See, he had been having only one set of copings, but because he had two sets, so much complication was there. So, too many things make, you know, it gets complicated, which is simplify our life. So simple life, simple living, high meaning. So this is what philosophy Brahmin Dev was preaching to Bali Maharaj. So finally, Bali accepted this. He said, I'll give you whatever you want. At this point, Shukracharya, who was the guru of Bali, said, no, don't do this. Don't do this. This little boy is not what he appears to be. He's actually Lord Vishnu. And he's come on the side of the devas. And Vishnu is very tricky. And somehow this is a loaded contract. This contract is not what you think it to be. You'll lose everything if you give it to him. And if you lose everything, then how am I going to be supported? How will I live? As ultimately Shukracharya's modus operandi. He's concerned more about himself. He wasn't really concerned about his disciple. Which is, now we come to the difference between Indra and Bali. And Indra's guru, Brihaspati, he was completely detached and totally dependent upon Lord Vishnu. Whereas Shukracharya, he was very motivated, much more materialistic. Even though he knew it's Vishnu, even though he knows Vishnu should be worshipped, he didn't want to worship Vishnu. He didn't want to give to Vishnu because he's concerned about his own material well-being. Therefore, he's asura. Though he knows what should be done. A dharmatma, as defined, dharmatma is one who knows what is to be done and who does what it is. Who knows what is right and does what is right. To know what is right but not to do what is right, that's not dharmatma. So Shukracharya knew what was to be done, but he didn't do it. And he was advising Bali Maharaj in the same way. Don't do it. So at this point, Bali Maharaj thought about everything and is thinking that after death, the only thing that's left is reputation. So in all instances, your reputation has to be preserved. Bali Maharaj says that. So, Lord Vishnu is here. You've taught me I should worship Lord Vishnu, And now when the time is right, you tell me not to. My reputation will be ruined. And your teachings also, you're not living up to your own teachings. So he renounced Shukracharya as his guru, and he promised, he said he would fulfill the desire of Vamanadeva. So to do that, he had to pour some water from the Kamandalu into the hands for the whole ritual, and it's true. At which point Shukracharya made himself very small, and he went inside the stem of the Kamandalu into the spout, and he blocked the water. Right? So then Bali took a straw, and he didn't know, of course, and he cleared it up, and he poked out one of Shukracharya's eyes. Right eye. His right eye is blind. That's why in astrology, Venus in the second house can indicate a person having blindness in their right eye. Astrologically. Second house is right eye. So Shukra is there, afflicted, eye problems. So then he was able to fulfill his promise. Since he gave to Vamadeva, okay, you can take 3 steps of your land, of the land if you want. Of course, by this time, he has displeased Shukracharya, his guru, which is now fulfilling the promise of Brihaspati. He says that Vamadeva can only be defeated when he displeases the Brahmins. Up to this point, he was pleasing the Brahmins. Now he displeases the Brahmins, so now he will be defeated. So now he's Shukracharya is angry with him and curses him that you'll lose everything and so many different, you know, negative things will happen to you. Of course, it reflects badly on Shukracharya. And also Shukracharya makes a statement that you can lie. He gives so many reasons, he gives so many instances where you can lie. You can lie to a woman to control her. You can lie to save somebody's wife. You can lie in this situation. You can lie in that situation. So you can lie also to him. You can break your promise. Lie. But Bali wouldn't have anything to do with that. So then, Vamadeva then displayed his extraordinary form as Trivikram. Urukram, he's got so many names. Vamanadev, Indranuja, Upendra, Trivikram, one who took the 3 steps. And so the first step, he crossed all the land. The second step, he crossed all the sky. Now nothing was left. Nothing was left over. So he asked Balinaj, now your promise is not going to come true. You've broken your word. I've taken everything, and where am I going to put my 3rd step? So because actually Bali is a great devotee, he's one of the 12 Mahajans, and he put his head down, and you put your foot on my head. And of course as he was sticking his foot through the sky, Vamadeva's toe pierced the covering of the material universe, causing the waters of the causal ocean to come in. And this created the celestial Ganga. Then became the whole situation. It didn't come, eventually it came down to the earth. That's another story with both Shiva, Bhagiratha. But we'll read that for another time. Bhagiratha for that now. So then Bali Maharaj, he offered himself, you put your 3rd foot on my head. That is why he achieved perfection by his Atma Nivedanam. It says, you know, there's 9 classes of devotional service: Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaradam, Padasevanam, Dasyam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atma Nivedanam. So, Shravanam, by hearing, Parikshit became perfect. By speaking, Kirtanam, Vyasaki, Shukadeva Goswami, he became perfect. Vishnu Smaranam, Prahlad became privileged by remembering. Padasevanam. Lakshmi Devi achieved perfection by worshipping the feet of the Lord. Dasyam. Hanuman achieved perfection by serving the Lord. Vandanam. Who achieved perfection by Vandanam? Vandanam. Akrura. Akrura. Sakyam is by Arjuna. And Atma Nivedanam is Bali Maharaj. He offered his very self to the Lord. Then he was arrested with the ropes of Varuna and brought in front of the Lord with a downcast look. And his wife came and she made appeals on his behalf. But then actually it was just though Bali Maharaj was arrested and the Devas got everything back, the Lord was very merciful to him because he had offered his very self to the Lord, and that he had given up his guru and the protection of his guru in order to satisfy God. The Lord was very, very happy with him. So even though Indra and then the Adityas, they got their kingdom back, Vamanadeva arranged for Bali a special place. I think it was a Sutala. One of those lower planets in the Sutala. He had Vishvakarma, the architect of the Devas, build a whole system for him. Build a whole city, palace, with the special condition that because it's built by Vishvakarma, that Bali Maharaj would never have any mental distress or physical distress, no problems whatsoever. And it would be actually nicer than what Indra had. Not only that, but Vamanadeva would become the doorkeeper. He would act now as the servant of Bali Maharaj. He stood at the door, making sure beggars didn't come bother him, making sure unwanted personalities didn't come. No Hare Krishna knocking at his door. So in one sense, Bali Maharaj ended up better than he was at the beginning. So in this way, Vamanadeva was able to satisfy both of his devotees. In fact, Indra was complaining later that actually, though he's called Indrabhuja, the younger brother of Indra, I hardly ever see him. He's spending all his time with Bali. I hardly ever see him up here. He's always down there. And he's complaining, what is this? I got cheated. Bali Maharaj is the winner. I'm the loser, actually. He got a better kingdom, and plus he always has darshan of the Lord. So he was complaining how I could be favored when actually Bali always has his association. And he's got it, and even from a material perspective, his place is better than my place. So today marks the auspicious day when Vamanadeva performed all these activities. So what is going to be the next part of the program? Does anybody have any comments or questions? Additions? They'd like to... Yes, Prabhu. It's in the Nectar of Devotion. They are Niyamagraha is actually two. Not following the rules and following rules and regulations just for the sake of following them without knowing the meaning, or not following them closely enough. That's Niyamagraha. Excessive accumulation A mockery, that's one. That's another one. That's three. Over-endeavoring for that which is very hard to achieve. That's four. Associating with non-devotees. That's five. I can't think of what's the other one. Which is? Over excessive accumulation of things. His greediness for what? Atyahara. Prayasascha. Prajalpa. Like greedy, over accumulation of things, that's be greedy for too many things. Prajalpa. That's the last. Sixth one is prajalpa. Talking too much about, you know, Ramyakata. Gossiping about material topics, or criticizing devotees behind their back or in front of their face, you know, prajalpa. Things which are not, Prabhupada said, if your time is spent on things which are neither materially or spiritually uplifting, then that's a waste of time. At least you should be making material progress, if not spiritual progress. But prajalpa, you don't even get material progress. It's just a waste of time. Talking, spreading rumors, this village, that's called Granyakata. But these are the six causes of fall down. But that's, anything else?